to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I remember as I went through the seminary that as we tried to get some little handle on each one of the various texts in the scriptures, that everybody said, well, this epistle from Paul to the Philippians is the joy epistle. It's the happy epistle. It's the one where everybody can celebrate that such wonderful things are done in Christ that everyone can rejoice. And then some years ago, I was at one of the Society of Biblical Literature meetings, and I sat in on at least part of a presentation about the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, which was a Roman colony. And the speaker said, watch out about thinking this is an epistle of joy. Somebody who keeps on encouraging you to rejoice must have some idea that you're not happy or settled or rejoicing. And there will indeed be some little hints through the way in the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians about some troubles that were going on. There are all sorts of ways in which our faith and our joy and our celebration of being Christians can be damaged. They can be damaged from all different directions. It might be that somebody would say, well, I felt really close to the church, and then going out to the parking lot one day, somebody said something to me, and it just turned me off, and I knew I was never going back there again. Maybe it would be that someone has made a promise. If you believe in Jesus, then everything will go well in your life, and you will have a settled, joyful life. And then something happens, something tragic, and God is blamed, and all the people are blamed, and people would say, I've had enough of that. It may be not even about us, but we might hear someone talking about others, and we might have this idea, what does it mean to be a Christian? And what does it mean to be Christian? To be a Christian technically would say, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, died on a cross 2,000 years ago and took the consequences of my sin upon himself, had my name on his heart as well as yours, and that when he said it is finished and rose from the dead, that he intended for me also to get the benefits of that salvation. Being Christian, instead of being a Christian, is often used in our culture just about what is a proper way to live. It's not Christian to say bad things about other people, to gossip about people. It's not Christian to keep all your money for yourself. It's not Christian. It's not Christian. It's not Christian. And that gets into the realm of behavior. I don't want anyone to be like me. Not if you know who I really am. Not if you know what is really in my heart and my words and my actions. Because I'm a sinner too. And so when Paul says, join in imitating me, he goes deeper than just saying, join in being the kind of person I am. He is going to have his own fights. He's going to have his own terribly disappointing days. He is not to be put up on a pedestal. But very often when people talk about what it is to be Christian, that's what they think about. What's your behavior like? I know some of you have heard this story, but the first weekend that we moved in here in 1982, it was 100 degrees that weekend, on the 4th of July weekend in 1982. Kathy's sister had said, "You're moving from Michigan to Minnesota. That's from the refrigerator to the freezer." It was 100 degrees. And among other things, the first couple of days, I hooked up the hose, and we were trying to get boxes unpacked and all that kind of stuff. And our younger son, Daniel, thought, he was just three that weekend, he thought it would be a good idea to turn the hose on and put it into the basement. And the kids were wondering where their toys were, and we didn't know where their underwear was. And I am absolutely convinced that any neighbor who would have been around that weekend, who would have heard that I was a Christian and a pastor and a professor, I wasn't cursing or anything, but I was angry. I was frustrated. It was 100 degrees. We found out that we were going to have to replace all the plumbing. It took 45 minutes to run a tub, and then they had turned the dial down on the thermostat, and so it was cold water on top of that, and there was no dial, so we didn't know what the real temperature was. It was a hard weekend. It was good to go to church that weekend, I'll tell you, to hear the good news of salvation. So if anybody was going to be convinced of being a Christian because of me, that weekend wouldn't have done it according to their definition. Because being Christian is being nice, being quiet, being settled, being agreeable, being nice. Tender Jesus, meek and mild. Go tell that fox isn't very meek and mild. Jesus didn't come into this world just to pat everybody on the back and say, everything you're doing is just fine and dandy. He came to deliver us from ourselves. He came to deliver us from what really is in our being that we can't root out. That doesn't mean that I am wicked all the time or that you are wicked all the time. But whether it's just in our thoughts or in our words or in our deeds, unbelievers are just perched waiting for us to say something that they say is not Christian. The evening college class, the only dream I had was to try to help them understand Christian means believing in Christ as your Savior, not being nice people. And I'm here to tell you, I was often a failure in that. I couldn't get that through. They could go from being kind of mean to people to maybe a little less mean, but to believe that they had to be died for was just too much. And there were some who were very vocal about letting me know that my religion and my faith and my teaching was worth nothing. And Paul says, watch out as you live your life. First of all, that you recognize that the joy that you have is in Christ being your Savior and your Lord. Walk around and live your life not caught up in the things that are passing away. Not having that as what drives you. Now, I will say, on the other hand, I would assume that any neighbor who knew me would recognize that my car leaves every Sunday morning and comes back every Sunday around noontime or a little bit later. That people do know that we go to church. They can assume that when they see us leave and when they see us come home and do that regularly because it's too early for a ball game and all the rest of that kind of stuff. So it is not like we hide ourselves. But if we put ourselves under the pressure that we have to be good all the time, we have to be nice all the time, we have to be happy all the time, we have to be loving all the time, that's more than what Paul is getting at. But he says, in what you do, in living out your daily life, recognize that there are many things that people around you are driven to and drawn to that have to be part of what proves their existence. He says, join in imitating me. Be firm in Christ. That means that we recognize every day that when we get up, we are redeemed sinners. Sinners and redeemed. We are people who by our own nature cannot stop what goes on in our heart and in our mind, and we turn our lives, our thoughts and words and deeds over to the Lord, and we say, Lord, please help us as we live our life to honor you and praise you. Help us to love the people around us as you have loved us. Help us not to just keep our church in our church, our being Christian on Sunday morning, but help us as much as we can, as much as in you lies, is the way Paul says elsewhere, to be honorable and loving and caring toward others. Will it always work? No. There are those who are enemies of the cross, who do not want people to be treated on the basis of forgiveness and love and care and concern. It is going to be like that until the day the Lord returns. Let us not think that somehow if we're all just Christian enough, that then God will bless our country, and then God will bless our lives, and then everything will go well. He has chosen to deal with wickedness against him and hatred against him another way. He poured his wrath out, but funneled it onto his own son, that we might be delivered into life everlasting. Paul has this very, very simple statement: if for this life only we believe, we're of all people to be most pitied. But that kind of cuts it down for us then a little bit, where we have to recognize somehow that things on this earth are never going to be the way we really want them. It might be an individual, it might be just a society. There's always going to be something that is going to needle us and get us and hurt us and upset us and drive us to despair. And what Paul really says is keep coming back to focus on Christ. To focus on what you already have, what I already have. We have been given life everlasting. We have complete peace with God. There is nothing that will yank us away from him. And thus, to realize that there are people who will be driven to earthly things, who will be caught up so much in them that they will say, might makes right. They will say that they're in charge. And very often, we are the ones who suffer in consequence. We are never going to get a perfect country. None of the promises that are made by anybody are going to really change the way our life goes. Because we can't root out the selfishness and the wickedness in ourselves or others. But our Lord says, since I have redeemed you, I want you, first of all, to pray to me that I would guide you in your life, that I would lead you in your thinking, that I would help you to make decisions that will spread that forgiving love out in the world in which you live. And so it's not to despair, not to just go hide, but to live our lives, to care for our world, the natural world and the people who are in the world, to ask the Lord to help us every way we can to be honorable and gracious. Sometimes that means we help people where we're not sure if we should help them. Sometimes it means that we stretch our own thinking and we ask God to help us go beyond just what we normally think, to unsettle us as well, but to do it in light of love others as I have loved you. And the joy that Paul talks about, the joy that he calls for us to celebrate, is the joy of victory that is already ours. We can get at each other, we can hurt each other, we can find ways to make other people hurt. We might think we're just trying to improve things for them, even though the reality is that they will be hurt in their heart and maybe be driven away. We ought not on purpose do that. But as we love people and care for them, our job is not that we make everybody else perfect, but that we help each other and encourage each other to stay on that track of being people who know that because we're going to live forever, the things of this world are not ultimate. They are there, they are important, but they are not ultimate for us. And thus, that in this broken world, we ask our Lord to give us that inner peace, that inner settledness that comes from knowing that he has eternal plans for every one of us. And in that, we can rejoice. As he will say a little bit later, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. That's just a few verses after this. And so, when we get discouraged, when we get down, when we get weak, that's why we come here, to find out we're not in this alone. We are part of a body of believers throughout the world, all of us moved by the Spirit in our new life to honor and praise him and to love others. And the beginning of that new life then comes out through us. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.